Affairs, today, July 3rd, 2003, and please welcome our new temporary member, Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you.
And today, colleagues, we just have one item on the agenda, and so we'll open up the work session on the proposed amendment to House Rule 801. What's that for us?
Mr. Chair, I move the proposed amendment to House Rule 8.01 submitted June 17, 2003 be submitted to the floor with a recommendation that it be adopted.
President Flores has moved the proposed amendment to House Rule 8.01 submitted June 17, 2003 be sent to the floor with a recommendation that it be adopted. Discussion. Representative Barnhart.
Well, Mr. Chair, I think I want to discuss the measure, but first I'd like an explanation of what the effect of this rule change will be. What's the point of it?
Okay. The what we are looking at is the change is actually 8.01 sub 15. Right now there is a description on Ways and Means as a committee that it will be referred to all measures relating generally to appropriations, notwithstanding measures relating generally to the 0103 legislative approved budget. The history of this rule is that Ways and Means has been the only committee that would have measures referred to them that relate to appropriations. The reason that there was the one notwithstanding clause was during the January what we were calling our special session six, as we were trying to get some things adopted that dealt only with the 0103 budget. We are now past that. There is already a special committee on budget that has been established by rule, and that's in sub 16. And so the effect of this rule change is that that Ways and Means will not be the only committee that could be referred appropriations measures. And it's my understanding, based on negotiations that are occurring with the Speaker of the House and the Senate President and the Governor, is that there's going to most likely be a need for a appropriations bills to come out of another committee besides the Joint Ways and Means Committee. And this provides for that vehicle to do that.
All right.
Yes, thank you, Representative Barnhart.
I appreciate the explanation. I'm looking and not finding, immediately at least, the provision in the Constitution that refers to the Ways and Means Committee. And I may or may not come up with it before we finish our discussion this morning, but thank you. I appreciate the help. I have several comments about this rule change. I think it's quite improvident for the legislature to be moving in this direction. One of the reasons we have a joint committee for Ways and Means, and probably the most important reason, and it is an unusual committee in, as state legislative committees go across the country, is that we have found in Oregon that we can do our budget process much more expeditiously by having joint committees like the Ways and Means Committee than doing it separately. That's been proved over and over again, I think, in Oregon. In fact, the longest session that Oregon's ever had came as a during a session in which the Ways and Means Committee was split up, which is the effect, as I understand it, of this proposed rule change, or at least it allows for that to occur. Now, I read the article in the Oregonian this morning, as did everyone else, and so I'm aware that the Speaker is considering setting up her own budget process separate from the Senate, may make a lot of noise and have a lot of interest in what goes on in the House. But it isn't going to have any significant, substantial effect long term on the budget process itself, except to slow it down. I think it's very important to note, as we talk about this measure, that in the negotiations that have been going on between the governor, the president of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House, that there has been substantial changes and offers made in that process by the President of the Senate in the discussions about the budget. Some of them, which in my personal view, have given away too much to the Speaker's position. My sense of it is that there's been no movement in the Speaker's position during that time, that she's insisting upon a particular position, and that I have every reason to believe that if this rule is amendment is adopted, that we will end up voting on in the House on positions that she held at the beginning of these of the negotiations and continues to hold to this day, that there's not movement in that process. I may have some other comments as the discussion proceeds.
Okay. Representative Monis Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm more interested in the process, just so that I understand how this all works. We will have now bills originating from the Special Committee on Budget, I would assume. When we eliminate this, that means that budget bills can start in the Special Committee on Budget. So if they originate there, then we would pass them in the House. Then they would go over to the Senate. And then what happens in the Senate? Then is that go to a committee, and then out of that committee it goes to Ways and Means? I sort of want to see the long-term process. Can you explain
how the
bills will...
I guess I can give a couple of examples, even though it's outside of the motion that we're talking about here, but just for benefit of just kind of looking at the issue here. I mean, it's the way this rule is set up, if you remove the appropriations mandate for Ways and Means, the budget bills actually could be in any committee. I mean, it could be Rules Committee. Not that I'm asking for it. And please, Madam Speaker. The point is that it's no longer just solely Ways and Means.
Right.
But if it goes to the Budget Committee, then yes, there will be bills that come out of the Budget Committee that are House bills. They will then be voted on by the House, go to the Senate. It's up to the Senate what they want to do. It's not we are not dismantling the joint Ways and Means process. There is still a significant number of bills that can be going through the Ways and Means process, and we hope that continues. The issue comes that when there is going to be a logjam that we can't get agreement between the two chambers, then we're looking to have another way to break that logjam besides the problems of having the joint Ways and Means hold up those kind of debates and getting things passed. The other issue then is at that point, the Senate then has their choice. They can agree with the budget that we are sending over, just as any other bill. They can choose to modify it, and it may ultimately come back with another conference committee that could ultimately look just like a joint Ways and Means committee. I mean, that's part of the process here, is that everybody understands that the House cannot do this alone, that it requires the Senate concurrence ultimately to get anything to the governor. But for purposes of getting these budgets through, there is seems to be the looking at part of the negotiations process that it may be necessary to put some bills through this committee, the budget committee, just to get them kind of moving off the dime where we are right now, to show that there is certain votes to get some budgets passed on the floor. The other point, though, is that the Speaker has been very clear, and she was clear to us right after session today in a caucus meeting, that negotiations continue with the President, the Senate, and with the Governor. They continue today. She has left open the offer that they can continue all through this weekend, that if we can get some decisions made and get some agreements made, come Monday, when we bring this up on the floor, we may still pass it out to have it ready. But if there's no need to move in this direction, we won't do that. you know, we are trying to reach agreement. We're trying to make sure this happens in a way that everybody, you know, comes to an agreement without trying to, you know, basically have the House do something on their own like this. But, you know, it's been weeks and weeks of negotiations, and, you know, the Speaker is looking to make some, create some movement. And, you know, this is one way that's going to happen.
That's some follow-up on that, then? So I'm looking at cost now. Is this going to cost us a lot? Any more than what it's already costing taxpayers right now? And again, we'd have to start with new bills, so new budget bills. Is that really going to cost us more? I think the term is we're going to maybe have blank bills in this budget committee, and then portions of what of the bills that are in Ways and Means would be put into these blank bills. And anyway, I'd like to know if the cost will be increased with legislative council and legislative fiscal.
My understanding that there will be minimal fiscal impact on this because the work has really already been done by the Legislative Fiscal Office on, and even Legislative Council on, drafting bills in preparation for the Joint Ways and Means process to just insert the numbers. And so most of the work has been done. That it is a matter just of coming to agreement on finding what those numbers ought to be. And it's not every single budget. I think that's important to understand, is that we are going to identify those areas where there is disagreement, and really, you know, it's not even just disagreements that can be, if they're minor things that can be worked out, they will be worked out in a joint process. It's only when there is some firm positions on both sides where we're not seeing any movement, you know, that's the budget bills that will probably get the most attention by this budget committee. So it's not every single budget, so we're not looking at astronomical rewrites of budget bills, you know, from the Ways and Means process over to the budget committee process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Additional comment on the motion. I think it's already clear, but I intend to vote against it. But in addition to that, I said improvident when I started my initial comment. And improvident, of course, means that it's not a good idea for a number of different reasons. One of them is this is going to be a huge time waster because we will draw the current budget committee members. Unless new members are appointed to the Budget Committee members are the same people as on the Ways and Means Committee. So they'll be pulled out of the Ways and Means process for the process of working on whatever budget bills the Speaker chooses to send to the Budget Committee, slowing down that process. In addition, while the expense may not be astronomical, there will be expense involved in preparing bills, additional bills, and putting in the numbers into them that the Speaker desires for consideration by the House. At this stage, we already are into July. Last session, and I've only been in one other session, so it's the only comparison I have. Last session, we were in the final moments of finishing up by July 3rd. Well, I mean, we had a few more things to do. There were a few more negotiations to be completed. The end game was well in sight, and we adjourned within a few days. There's absolutely no chance of that happening now. Beginning a new budget process, even for only a few bills at this point, will extend the length of the session, probably considerably. Every session day, of course, is quite expensive. I don't know the amount that it costs, but it's substantial. Not only in the dollars that the state spends, but also in the time that of a lot of other people, in addition to the state expense. And to begin a new process at this late date is a substantial decision. It ought to involve more conversation than we're going to have this morning, I can tell. Is not the kind of thing we ought to be pursuing. We have an established process. The process has gone through hearings beginning in January on the budgets. The Senate is going to have to concur on whatever it is we send them before it can become law. And simply excluding the Senate from this part of the process makes no sense, in my view. So I'm a no.
Further discussion.
And just one
Representative Sanderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will be voting no also. I am not convinced that this will expedite the budget process, and that is why I'll be voting no.
Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just would like to comment, I think in part response to the good Representative Barnhart, in that when we're tossing out things like improvident and no movement and lack of willingness to participate in the dialogue, basically, I think I would just caution us, because I see that as probably a very partisan debate. I think there's been movement on both sides, and yet there we are at a log jam. And I think that this might be an opportunity to help maybe break that logjam open. And I will be supporting this part of the process.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say that I would hope that our current negotiations involving the Speaker of the House, the Senate President, and the Governor end up being successful. And I know that there are offers that they would be willing to continue to talk through the weekend, and hopefully that would come to a good conclusion. On the other hand, what's being proposed here today is it's conceivable that it will speed up negotiations, because you're getting off high center, so to speak. You're taking a new approach, and something presumably would come from the House to the Senate that would change the parameters of the game to some degree, so it could conceivably speed up the negotiations process. I don't know that it will, and so my good colleague and friend Representative Barnhart may be correct, but he may not be correct either. So with this thought in mind, I'm prepared to support this this change.
Thank you. One last comment, if I may.
Representative Barnhart.
Thank you. I did not use the word partisan. The fact is, however, this is a partisan process, and it's an extremely partisan process, which, as I said earlier, I consider to be improvident. We should be working together on what would be best for Oregonians, and best for Oregon's kids, best for the sick, best for the disabled, and best for those who are victims of crime. And this measure, this rule change, doesn't help us in that process.
Thank you. Colleagues, we have had some interesting negotiations through the last now almost 6 weeks. It's about the time of the May forecast coming out where negotiations started getting serious. And I think to the credit to all parties that have been involved in that process, there has been considerable movement. And with that, though, we have reached a point where some figures just are not moving in a way that shows, I think, to Representative Barnhart's comment, that we're going to get out of here anytime soon anyway. We have to make decisions, and this is a way that at least the House will be able to start making some decisions for good or bad. We will start moving the negotiations through to conclusion, we're hoping. And let's not forget our ultimate responsibility as a legislature, and our only constitutional responsibility, is to balance the budget. And if in the opinion of our leadership that we are not moving in that direction to fulfill that constitutional obligation. We've got to look for ways to make that happen, and this is one of those ways. So with that, can you call the roll?
Aye.
No.
Aye. No. Aye.
Excused.
And Chair Doyle.
And Chair votes aye, and I will carry the rule on Monday. And with that, the amendment will move to the floor with a recommendation that it be adopted, and nothing further before the committee. We are adjourned.